This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're going to start off today's program talking a little basketball. We've got our good friend with us from Mike Ingram, the head coach over at Lansing Community College, and talk about Mike's and his upcoming season. As we know, last year Mike ended in a very positive note, ended the season very strong. So want to see if he can pick up where he left off from that last season's strong finish. Hey, Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Earl, what's happening?
Hey, not too much. So how do you see yourself going this year? You finished strong last year. You think you're going to pick up and sort of pick up from where you left off, or will you be entertaining a lot of new players this year?
Well, you know, we're entertaining a lot of new players, but I think we're faster and quicker and stronger. We haven't opened up yet. We had our alumni game last night. We're going to open up Saturday. Kind of a late start for us, but I think it's going to help us, with so many new players. And we have been really struggling academically, and so I wanted to make sure that the guys got off to a good start, in their classes. And so we've done a lot of stuff with them early this term to make sure that they're doing okay. So I think we're going to be all right. I think, you know, the one thing that is going to hurt us is Cameron Sanchez, who I thought was going to be the best player in the region, is going to sit out this year and play next year. So we had to replace him.
Hey, Mike, that's the one thing about your league. So many kids come in there, you know, they want to, their dream, of course, of playing in Division I, competing on a national level and such. Of course, some of them reach that goal, some of them don't. But how much do you find yourself, especially these days, helping more kids achieve their academic goals than you used to like 10, 15 years ago?
I think it's a little tougher. I think that from 10 or 15 years ago, I mean, because the rules have changed at the transfer rules have changed so much at the NCAA level. And then the rules have also, the classes have changed also, you know, at our level at LCC. So, you almost have to come in as a ready made student athlete to go Division I directly from here. And like say in Cam's position or situation, he had some things that he was thinking about doing before the season started, and so he just decided that he was going to sit out. He could probably make that jump now because he'll be here for 3 years, the same way with Muhammad El Amin, who had a situation where he wanted to do something else, but then decided to come back to LCC, ended up sitting out a year. And sometimes that year helps a student get more credits, helps them move on to better classes that they can use to transfer. And so I'm hoping that that's going to happen for Cam the way it happened for a kid like Muhammad El Amin. But if you're not, a student athlete that's coming in here, passing your ACTs, getting high test scores on the assessment tests and stuff, it's going to be tough to go Division I after 2 years.
And that certainly is challenging, isn't it? Because, as you know, many of the kids, they want to play at the highest level, and they dream of playing at the highest level. And yet, that's one thing that's good about your program and at the junior college level. You help them see some of the pitfalls that they're going to face in the coming years. And that's always good because they need to know what they're going to be facing. If they want to get to the next level, they're going to have to face a lot of obstacles.
Well, you know, if I had to tell somebody something, if somebody was really listening and they thought that they had a kid or a young student athlete who was, it looked like, because you could tell if a kid is going to be someone that has a potential to play in college, if, you know, and number one, you want them to be strong academically anyway if they're going to be a student athlete or not. But if the case was you really thought they were going to be there, then you really need to tighten up on them. when they're in junior high, when they're in high school, because it gets tougher when you get to, you know, collegiate level. If you have to come to our level, you're talking about having a kid do college work in one term after he hasn't really done any work in, you know, 8 or 9 years of school. So, you know, it starts before you get to our level, especially, like I said, if you're going to be a parent or you're going to have a kid that you think is, you know, going to play college athletics, you know, you've got to tighten up on them. You know what I mean? You just have to. You got to make sure that they're taking the right classes. Got to make sure that they're doing their homework. You know, you got to make sure that they're trying to be a student first and then an athlete.
Yes, that's for sure. Hey, we're talking with Mike Ingram, head coach at Lansing Community College. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Hey, Mike, how different do you think this team, you've seen it in practice already, how different do you vision this team being this year?
Well, you know, the number one thing is that we need to play. We need to play somebody. I think that we've kind of stalled a little bit because it had, you know, teams have got two or three games ahead of us. And I think that what's going to happen is when we start playing teams that have got a couple games, we might, you know, struggle with. But I like them. They're big. You know, they're strong. I think we got good guard play. We're athletic. I think we got to, you know, play a little harder. I mean, you know, fundamentals and having all the skills and being able to jump and do all those things are great. But, you know, you also have to have the desire to compete and play hard. And I don't think that we're there yet. I don't think that we're at the level that we need to be at to, you know, play, you know, championship basketball. But this team has the potential to do that and go beyond that because of the ability that they have. They just need to get used to playing, you know, college basketball. We got a couple transfers that didn't play a lot when they were freshmen at the other colleges they were at. And then we got two kids that are coming back that started for us last year, Montel Smith and Skyler Moore, that played on the championship team. And so, you know, we got some experience. But like I said, as a team, it's really hard to gauge, you know, where we're at because we haven't played. You know, we played alumni team. Playing an alumni team is like playing, you know, who's who of basketball. I mean, you know, we beat them 101-96. You know, you're talking about all these guys are, you know, 27 and 30 years old, so and play for me and know how to play. And so it was a battle for us. What they didn't give us last night was defensive pressure that you face from, you know, college teams, younger teams. And so that's, and you know, I'm a little worried about that, but I've got a great guard coming in that transferred, and so yeah, I think we'll be okay.
Okay, well, that's one thing when you talk with you know, like with me, for example, I talk with so many coaches at different levels, and they all seem, and you're saying this one thing, nothing beats playing a game, does it? You learn the most from actually being out there competing in a game.
Right, yep. And like I said, well, you know, we've had a couple great scrimmages against a couple great programs, and I thought that we just played okay. I mean, the last night, and we started out, you know, 14-0. 14-0. You still there?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, I got a new phone, so I thought I hung up on it. So we started out with down 14-0. You know what I mean? And that's just because the guys, you know, hadn't played. And so sometimes that can give you a false sense of, you know, that hey, if we fall behind, we can come back. I don't really want to, you know, play like that. And then we had to switch some games around, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we got three games on Tuesdays that were on Mondays. And so we had several kids not there last night that were in Tuesday, you know, night classes.
Oh,
and so
okay.
That's going to hurt us a little bit. We're working on that, you know, right now. So I got some good players. You know, Devlin Bell is here, freshman from, played at East Lansing a couple of years ago. Devlin's a heck of an athlete. Tyron Wade is going to, you know, start for us. You know, Tyron could be an impact player, you know, at this level. I got a couple kids from Saginaw's state championship team. Aaron Jackson is back, who you know, hit, you know, 73s for us. I mean, we have you know, the pieces. You know, we just gotta put them all together. And then the guard I was telling you about is taking Cam Place, you might know him because I think you were at the game a couple of years ago. His name is George Goodman, and hey, I think he might have put 37 to 38 on
okay. Yeah.
A couple of years. Him and Chris Dox went hit up. So and George is small, but you know he's probably one of the fastest guards that we've ever had. So you know it just takes time to mesh guys together game wise. And like I said, I just think we need to play. We're just hitting our heads up against the wall right now, because not really getting a lot done because we've been practicing so long.
How difficult is that, as you just mentioned, to get the guys to play together as a team unit? I mean, I know it's challenging, but how long does it take on average, I guess to say, because I know there's no way you can put it, put an exact timetable. So how long does it take on average to get the guys to be playing on the same page and wanting to do things the right way?
Well, last year we were 4-10 in the first part of the season, before we went 16-1. So you never know. You never know how guys are getting along, off the court. But I think that the system that I run makes you play together. I'm trying to get away from that a little bit. I'm trying to let the guys freelance a little bit more. I was telling them the other day that when they, just come in for open gym, I love watching them play. They're running and gunning and checking and rebounding and blocking shots. And then when a coach is sitting on the sideline, when I'm sitting on the sidelines, I don't get that same playing style. And so I think that they got to get used to me and realize that I want them to play a certain way. But if they, like all coaches, if you let us in the game, we're going to get in the game. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. If you're coming down court and you're throwing the ball away or you're missing passes, you're not getting rebounds, you're taking quick shots and not good shots, then we got to get in the game. We got to organize things and control games. And so, I'm trying to, help them, understand, but they also have to understand that, hey, you just can't come down and just start, going crazy. But they got it in them. They play us a way that I think that we're going to be, really good. And don't know when it's going to happen, but I really do believe it's going to happen because of the talent level is there.
Yeah. Do you have to worry much about your guys, being ready to play? Because so many teams out there, I think some teams, you're the goal that you want. Teams want to beat you. So do you have to make your players aware of that to be ready for that? Because there are so many teams out there, and let's face it, you've had a lot of success. They might have you on their bulletin board.
Yeah, I try to tell guys at all times that we don't get anybody's bad game. And plus, we play the schedule. I think this the first part of our season, we're playing, 8 to 9 home games, and all those games are going to be great, starting with Delta Saturday. But, we're bringing in Triton for our holiday tournament and Owens Tech. They're both ranked in the top 15 in the country. We're playing, Mott twice. We're playing Cuyahoga. Not Cuyahoga, we're playing them at their place, but they're ranked in the top 20. I mean, we're playing, a super, super, tough schedule. And, like I said, I'm just trying to tell the guys, we need to get our level of how hard we're playing. And that's the thing that's going to take some time to see how hard and how fast they play. But you know what? I was mildly surprised last night with a couple guys and how they got up and down the court. Tywin's a big guy, and I was worried about him, but I thought that he played great last night. And but the other team had big players too, and so big players play well against other big players, and they struggle against guys that are a little quicker. But I thought he played well last night. Montel played well. George played well. So teams do play, come to play us, and they look forward to playing against us. And that's just the nature of it when you're, and I think that we're a great program. And I think that we're a great program for a couple reasons. One is, I always feel that the junior colleges are for the kids at home, and I've always tried to make sure that the kids in Lansing have a place to play. And I know I've got a couple kids from out of town this year, but most of the time when that happens for me, it becomes it's a entire relationship, like Trayvon Babers, who I think is going to be pretty good. You might remember that his mother played at Michigan State 15, 20 years ago, and she was a great friend of mine back then and called me about her son. So a lot of times that's how I get kids from out of town. I don't actively recruit them, that much, because I just think that, you know, hey, LCC is for the kids from Lansing. And when we win championships and when we get to the national, whenever I win one, I haven't won one yet, but been there a couple of times, I want it to be a Lansing championship.
Okay. Hey, Mike, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. You know, we'll be talking together time to time during the season.
All right, Earl, I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to talk about my team. If you get a chance, come out and see us play Saturday, okay?
Okie dokie. Hey, we'll talk to you later. Hey, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. That's Mike Ingram, the head coach of Lansing Community College. The time, 21 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
The election's over, but the frantic pace of political news has hardly slowed. Congress is back in Washington, eyeing the fiscal cliff. The GOP is regrouping after the Romney-Ryan ticket's defeat, and the Petraeus scandal engulfs a new player, General John Allen. I'm Jackie Lydon. Ken Rudin's back for another round of The Political Junkie. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock, right here on AM 870 WKAR.
It's good to have you with us. I'm Scott Pohl. Here's the weather forecast. A high today in the low 40s and partly sunny. Partly cloudy with an overnight low of 25 tonight. Partly sunny again tomorrow, the high 45. On Friday, sunny, the high 48.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. You can also send us an email at sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1 to 5 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. We got to bring in another good friend of ours. As a matter of fact, he helps out the kids here in the greater Lansing area from the high school level. And we got Jeff Kimberly on with us. And Jeff, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you, Earl?
Okay. You know, that's with Mike Ingram, that maybe it's like, you know, yes, he's at a different level, but it's like you'll be seeing a lot of the kids that go to the major colleges or the big colleges will go to the junior colleges. Is there a way that you can help kids or just tell them that can be another avenue for them?
Well, I mean, I think Mike, you know, has a really good relationship with all of these people, you know, in the area, and he knows a lot of these coaches, and he goes to a lot of these games. I mean, it's very common to see Mike out, you know, at whatever some of the better games are of the night, especially when you get down to tournament time. You know, he fits that into his schedule, which has to be kind of busy with all the college stuff going on, too, obviously. But, you know, he does a great job of getting guys who, you know, might need just a little bit more seasoning before they go on to a high D2 or even a D1 level. You know, look at Levi Ross, look at some of these other guys that he's had. And you know, he gets that. He gets them in, and he gets that for them. You know, he's been doing it for a long time. I mean, he's one of those guys everybody knows and everybody really respects. So it's always fun to see those guys do well.
Yeah, yes, it is. Hey, Mike, I mean, we're going to talk about the playoffs, which is right around the – well, they're in now. Of course, the teams are almost ready to go to Ford Field. That's got to be exciting if you're a high school kid and knowing you're almost there, almost ready to play for the state championship.
It is, and you know, the build-up to it's so great, and these guys are so excited. You know, on the other end of it, the ones that don't make it, I think, are just maybe a little bit more crushed because they do get, you know, on the cusp, within a breath of making that final trip. But, you know, there are a lot of great games this weekend. And, you know, at this point, it's just one of those things where we know something about every one of these teams. And, you know, it's fun. It's fun to see how it shakes out. Because even last week, we had some pretty massive upsets around the state, you know, including right in our backyard with Portland. You know, it keeps you interested, but this week you look at this, and there's not really anybody here that doesn't look capable of making it to Detroit next week.
Yes. Oh, that's for sure. Hey, Mike, when we look at these teams, or we go ahead to look at how they may play in the state championship or get to that final round, what do you think is the key to most guys or most teams making that final push to get to the state championship?
You know, I feel like it's keeping level a little bit. I think it's not getting up too high or too low, and this is just from talking to a lot of these teams that have made these runs over the years. You can get into a game like this weekend and you can let a lot of the outside stuff get to you, a lot of, you know, distractions, because people are hyping everything so much and your fans are so excited, and all of these are on neutral fields, so everybody's making a trip this weekend to go watch the game, and there's just a lot going on. But if these guys can, you know, definitely enjoy the experience, but not get too high, you know, keep focused on the task at hand. The ones who march into these games in a business-like way seem to be the ones that end up going on at least a lot of years.
Okay. Now, what about, I know that's one thing we've seen a lot of in the last few years, is the MHSAA has really expanded their coverage, and the teams are getting a lot of television coverage, you know, through your own product and such. How has that been for the program and for the MHSAA, and does that help even more so at this time of year, because there's more interest in the state championships?
Oh, absolutely. As soon as we hit the playoffs, we go to four games that are live streamed every Friday night, and obviously with all the games on Saturday this week, there'll be four games on Saturday that are live streamed on FoxSportsDetroit.com. You go to the Prep Zone link. And I don't know what four games they are this week off the top of my head, but we've hit a pretty good variety of schools throughout the playoffs so far. And it's really neat, because you can have the screen up on your computer and basically click back and forth between the four and see some great football. We also have on MHSAA.TV games from all season long. A lot of them are ones that were produced by our students, who have the setup and the equipment and everything else, and are part of our school broadcast program. So that's a really neat way to get them involved. All of that is just, you know, one portion of it. We have MHSA.com, where we have scores and stats and standings and everything else. We've had that all season since week one. And then we have second half, which you can also get to from MHSA.com, which is where we try and tell the stories behind some of these great things that are going on. And we do a lot of stuff with football, looking at the games from the weekend before and looking at the ones that people should pay attention to the week coming up. And obviously we're getting to the end of that, and we're going to have to talk about a lot of them this week.
Yes, that's for sure, because, you know, it's high school sports, especially at this time of year, it's so exciting. Everyone, not just the people in that community, but people all over, like, you know, if you're, you know, you might live in, say, for example, Pewamo, Westphalia, but the people in Lansing would have an interest in that game. And it's just like, well, with us, like you and I, we talked and have been out to Ithaca. Ithaca, a lot of people in Lansing think Ithaca is regular, just a regular home program, which it is, but programs get so much more exposure at this time of year, don't they?
Well, and this is a great time to go out and see some of these. If you followed your team throughout the regular season, you know, there's a very good chance, since we're into the semis, that your team is no longer still alive. Go out and see some of these other teams that you've heard about and that you've read about. DeWitt plays Grand Rapids Christian. I know for a fact at least a few people who have no tie to either team but want to go see Grand Rapids Christian because they want to see Drake Harris. They want to see the quarterback, Alex Mandevoos. They just want to see this team that's scoring 50 points a game, and that should be a great game. Go see Flint Beecher with Courtney Hawkins running the show. The Cass Tech Lake Orion game is going to be great. A lot of these are going to be great. Go see Ithaca, that I'm sure you've heard about, people have heard about. This is a great opportunity, and the weather goes a little cold the first couple weeks of the playoffs, but it's going to be pretty nice on Saturday. I think it's going to be 50. It's a great chance to go out and check out, you know, some of these teams that you might see some of them next week on TV at Ford Field, but some of them you won't, and this might be your last chance.
Yes, I must admit, I'm so impressed with Ithaca. I was at that very first game when they played Williamston at the beginning of the year. I was very impressed with them then. And then I went to the last game of the regular season. And, boy, I asked the coach to say, you know, how do you get your team ready and together to play each week? He says, well, you know, we just work hard. We got great kids that are dedicated. And that seemed to be it because, man, his kids, his team is really very, very good.
Well, and they have an expectation. Mm-hmm. And at this point, when you've won 40 games in a row, the expectation is you will not lose. And they're used to going in. They're used to getting off to a good start. They're used to, you know, being the team that needs to be chased. And when you have a huge following like they do, you know, more than 2,000 fans basically for all of their games this year, even when they go on the road, they're getting a lot following them. You know, the town rallies around them. They feel that. They know how to win. You know, that's one of those little intangible things, and it sounds kind of cliche, but it certainly is important, learning how to finish games, learning how to, you know, finish games when you're ahead as well. So they know how to do those things, and, you know, that's one of those ones nobody sees, although there are some teams that lost last week that we didn't think would lose either, but Ithaca's one of the ones that I don't think anyone expects to lose the rest of the way,
right.
And maybe into next year for a while, too.
Yes, because they're certainly going to give a challenge to anybody that's got to go through them. They know they've got a big road to fill if they have to go through Ithaca.
Exactly.
Hey, now, how does it work for you and some of the guys there? Because I know you're working like crazy this time of year. Yes, the season is ending for fall sports, and now the winter sports are starting to go off and get going. So how do you work the two? Because you got to pay attention to the ones getting started, and you got to finish up. You try to finish up strong with the teams that are going in the playoffs.
You know, we do, and really a lot of it is making sure we keep that focus on the end of the fall stuff. I mean, this is our time. These are our tournaments. We were in charge of them, and you know, we're obviously present for the entire regular season too. But when it gets to tournament time, that's where we really up our game. That's where we really step in. So, you know, we try and do our best to finish things off very well. We have volleyball and swimming this Friday. Well, actually, volleyball starts tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Swimming's Friday and Saturday. Finishing those two up with some great finals, and then obviously football being just the huge event that it is. We want to make sure to have everything right and let everybody know about what's going on. And, you know, at the same time, we've asked our athletic directors to start making sure that we have their basketball schedules, and we're doing our best to get all that stuff input. So as soon as games get going in a couple of weeks, we'll be able to have the results there and have the standings and everything else like we did last season, which, you know, is one of those things a lot of people still don't know about, but I would say by mid-December, hopefully, definitely by the end of December, we should have schedules for every basketball team in the state, every MHSAA team, rather, standings, you know, results, the whole thing. So it's a pretty neat thing.
Yeah. Were there any rule changes this year?
For basketball?
You're right.
Not that come to mind off the top of my head, no.
Okay.
I could be missing something obvious. I don't know. You didn't prepare me for that one, Earl. You got to give me a heads up on something like that.
Okay.
But nothing comes to mind.
Okay. Hey, I know we've talked about these teams, and of course, they're going to, you know, getting ready to make their run in the playoffs. It's exciting time for them. Exciting time for them to be in the playoffs and to making that run. So, how good do you think, when you look at the teams that are all left, how good do you think the teams are? That I assume all of them must be pretty good. They get to get this far in the playoffs.
Well, you know, we have four of our champions left from last season. Still, out of eight divisions, not counting the eight player, where we have two teams playing Friday night who were not in eight. Or no, I'm sorry, that's not true. We have two teams playing Friday night that have not won an eight player championship since this is only the second season. One of them is only a first year team in eight player, so that's pretty exciting too. But if you look at the 11 player, we have four of our champions back from last season. We only have one of the top ranked teams coming in, but I think, you know, anytime you look at the playoffs or any sport, rankings a lot of times get thrown out the window, which, you know, we've seen the last couple of weeks especially. Detroit Catholic Central, Orchard Lake St. Mary, Brother Rice, those three from the Catholic League are still alive. They're always there, so people will certainly be familiar with them. But you've got some others that people, you know, are probably pretty excited to actually get an opportunity to see. Muskegon's still around. That's the team that basically a lot of people thought was the best team in the state, regardless of division. division. They lost to Zeeland West by a point in Week 9, but have come back strong. They have Caledonia this week. Grand Rapids Christian, I mentioned before, that's an exciting team people want to watch. Rockford-Detroit Catholic Central, those two play each other in a semifinal for the second year in a row. They're always there. So there's a lot to follow, and you know, a lot of these have been here before, but by the same token, you have some exciting ones like Flint Beecher, you know, which we mentioned before. You have Menominee with a new coach after having Ken Hofer for 40 years. Mm-hmm. They have a new coach, and they're back in the semifinals. So you got some of the old, you got some of the new, which is what makes this a good situation, too.
Yes, sir. What about the cost this year? I know that's one thing MHSAA has done a great job of, keeping the cost down, making it reasonable, very affordable for many kids to come and bring families and such. So what is the cost this year if you decide on to go to Ford Field?
If you come on down, if you go to the semifinals this weekend, the tickets are $6. If you come to the eight-player final on Friday in Greenville, Deckerville and Bel Air, that's an $8 game. But if you make it down next weekend to Ford Field, it's $10 per day. You get all four games, though. So that is got to be about as good of a bargain as you're going to find in sports at any level. $10 for four games in Ford Field, the best teams that play in this state. It's hard to beat that. There's also a $6 charge for parking, obviously, because you're parking in Detroit. You can find other places maybe that, you know, you can figure out different ways to do that. But if you park in one of the lots that are around Ford Field, it's $6. So total, $16.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good deal.
Yes, it is. Yeah, that's a very good deal. Hey, Jeff, what about, you know, when we talk about how everything basically is affordable, if your fans want to go to the games, yes, they can certainly make the trip. It's not going to bust, you know, their whole overall budget to go to some high school games, which is good. So what do you say to these folks who may not, you know, they've heard, as I'm always talking about, you know, you ought to go see a high school game. If you haven't seen one during the year or during the season, you should just go and to see a high school team for the experience of seeing a game.
Well, and especially at this level of the year, mm-hmm. because, you know, like I said, everybody that's left is left for a reason. And what you're seeing is some pretty high level football. And again, it's such a great bargain. When you compare it to how much, you know, it costs to go to a pro game or a college game, I mean, obviously those are great things to be at, too, and that's a different level of magnitude and a different experience. But if you're just looking for a good football experience, this one's hard to beat because of the affordability, because of the fact that, you know, there are plenty of good seats in the house, and because right now the teams that you're seeing, they've been playing since the second to last week in August, and they're seasoned, and they're running about as cleanly as they can. They're ready to go, and it's, if you're going to see them, this is the time. Right now is the peak. So
yes, yeah, so hopefully there'll be people will be there. That's for sure. Hey Jeff, I want to thank you for being with me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we're covering high school sports, something that I really love high schools a lot and have
Absolutely.
Always. And you know, so I want to thank you again. And maybe we'll have to have you on one more time before the finals get started.
All righty, we'll talk to you soon.
Okie dokie.
Thanks, Earl.
Thank you, Jeff. Yep. Bye bye. And that's Jeff Kimmerly from the Michigan High School Athletic Association talking sports with us right here on AM 870. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
When gay rights advocates won big in Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, and Washington State on Election Day, it snapped a long losing streak. Those who oppose same-sex marriage know it's still a hugely divisive and unresolved issue. I'm Jackie Lydon. Next steps in the gay marriage debate, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The weather forecast for today, partly sunny, the high 41 degrees. It'll be partly cloudy tonight with a low of 25. On Thursday, partly sunny again, the high tomorrow 45, and sunny with a high of 48 on Friday. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Well, give us a call right now at 884-4870 for your chance to win tickets to MSU football and MSU basketball. Give us a call once again at area code 517-884-4870. We've got tickets to give away to Michigan State's last home football game and Michigan State's upcoming basketball season. As you know, they won a big game last night beating Kansas down in Georgia. Very big game for them. And, you know, a lot of people are very happy today because of the Spartans' victory last night. Very impressive win. Did you get a chance to watch that game, Aaron?
Yep, sure did. Watched pretty much the whole thing. I had to miss just the beginning of it, but I was able to catch pretty much the whole game.
Yeah, I know I was impressed, and even though I watched the first game, I was more impressed with that game. That was the second game in just such a short period of time. The fact they didn't seem to have much jet lag or anything. Very impressive win for them.
Yeah, apparently they were going to bed at 10 o'clock. They pretty much stayed on what the time they were in Germany. So they were going to bed, at certain times that they were doing in Germany. So I don't think that was an issue for them really. It was different. I think when they were coming from, I think last year, you know, coming from the East Coast or whatever, West Coast or wherever. The one year they were in Hawaii or wherever it was. Obviously that was an issue, but, it wasn't a perfect game by any means. They had their faults, but, you know, right at the end of the stretch there, they had some big key moments and they got the win.
Gary Harris was very impressive in his play, and Keith Appling was very impressive with his play. Those two guys did a lot for the team and helped them carry them to the victory.
Yeah, I mean, Appling had, he had 19 points. Harris had 18 points. Heck, Harris is so new that ESPN doesn't even have a little profile for him yet on their own website. So that's how good he is and that's how young he is. And I think Izzo called him one of the smartest players he's ever had in Harris. So, as a freshman, that's quite a compliment. So, yeah, I mean, they got good production all around. You know, Payne had 4 points. Knicks had 8. Dawson had 12. And then Alex, I always forget how to pronounce his name.
Ghana
had, he had 6 points off the bench. So, and then Valentine, he didn't have any points, but he's a heck of a passer.
Yes, he is.
You know, he had 4 assists, so he led the team with assists. And he had some really nice passes. So, you know, I think everyone just kind of contributed in their own way. Obviously, there's lots of work to do, but it was a great win nonetheless over Kansas.
Oh, yes, it was. And it's nice for them to get a win like that at the beginning of the year. Last year, as you know, they lost to Duke and North Carolina in their opening first two games. And this year, they split the two. And it was a great win for them, something that they sorely needed.
Yeah, they did. And you could tell. Yeah. In coach's just eyes and his sort of swagger that he went about, with all the fist pumps he had. I mean, you would think it was like a late game, a game late in the season that was going to determine whether or not they got into the tournament. So, I think it was just great for him to finally sort of he's been scheduling these tough games.
Yeah.
And to finally get one of those wins last year, as you just pointed out, didn't work out too well. I'm not sure how they fared the year before, but, to have this kind of win, Kansas was ranked 7th coming in. I know it's early in the season, so rankings aren't that too big of a deal, but, he was just excited, I think, to finally have one of those games, that he scheduled that's supposed to be a difficult game, and the team came through. So I think for him it was like a huge weight off his shoulders.
Yes, because they've got a lot of talent on this team. They, with 4 incoming freshmen, all of them who are are good enough to play, in all honesty, in most programs. We've already seen two of them. I think the others, they're going to be playing a lot soon. But he's got four good freshmen, and then he's got a lot of veterans that have contributed to the program. So it's almost like it's just a win-win situation for Spartans.
Yeah, I mean, they got a good mix of kind of young and old, I would argue. A little bit more younger than older, but which is fine because they're all athletic. Dawson, you know, just the fact that he's come back from, you know, the injury he's had is quite amazing in itself. I mean, I don't know how he did it, but, you know, it seems like each year you find some player that has come back from a terrible injury and is just able to come back and perform at a very high level. And I'm sure he's not even probably performing at 100% yet, you know. That knee's going to take some time to kind of get back in game shape, mm-hmm. but you know, he's a heck of an athlete, and it was sad to see him go down last year. So I mean, you know, they got a lot of talent on this team.
Yes, they do.
And you know, the only way they're going to go is, you know, up. They're going to improve from game to game. They're going to probably have their hiccups throughout the season, maybe here and there. You know, just being a younger squad, sometimes that just happens. But, you know, with Coach Izzo, you know, I think we all know how good he is as a coach to get his players to play at the level that he expects them to play at. So I'm expecting a great season. Whether or not they can pull off another 15-16 game streak like they did last year when they lost the first two or whatever it was, I guess we'll have to wait and see. The Big Ten's pretty good this year.
Yes, it is. What do you expect? I mean, I really want to ask you about the game Saturday, Michigan State Northwestern football game. I'm sort of curious, what do you expect in that game? Do you think the Spartans can win that game, or what's your expectations for it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. I expect that they could win it. they're capable of winning it. I don't know who's going to show up, though, on offense. You know, 1 week we have, you know, half of a game we have a good offensive team. The other half, I don't know who's on the field. I don't know, you know, did they swap out human beings and, you know, put on the same jerseys? I don't know. I mean, you know, they're just so inconsistent. You just throw up your arms and you're like, well, I hope this team shows up and not this team. So can they win? Yes. Will they win? I seriously don't know. I mean, we don't know.
Question.
We don't know who's going to show up. Defensively has been on the defensive
pretty
end, they've been consistent. So we know what we're going to get there. So there's no question marks there. But on offense, and I know they've had their injuries, but you know, who knows what they're going to get? And we obviously saw against Nebraska that you know, they couldn't handle Martinez. And well, we know how Northwestern is; they have a running quarterback. Honestly, the way they've been playing, I'm going to say no, that they're not going to win. But can they win? Yeah, but I don't think they will. If they show up and are the team that they were, maybe, you know, at the end of maybe Wisconsin, yeah, then they can win. But that was for what, you know, 45 seconds or a minute, whatever it was, out of the whole game. That's not going to win you a game.
See, one thing that I like talking with you, because so many people in this area, they just put it automatically in the win column because it's Northwestern. Northwestern has a history of not winning very much. But since you haven't been around here to witness all of Northwestern's losses over the years, you have, a more clearer perspective of the team, just because you didn't watch them in the 70s and the 80s when they were just getting it handed to them week after week after week. So you got a fresh perspective on Northwestern, and they are a pretty good team these days.
Yeah, I mean, they are. I mean, you know, I grew up as a Michigan fan, so I'm kind of 50-50. I think we just lost a couple viewers from that. But, you know, I watched Northwestern, you know, in the 90s, you know, mid to late 90s and then early 2000s. You know, they had some good teams here and there, some decent teams. But you're right. For me, though, even as someone that's into sports, you know, history is history. I mean, yeah. Even if you had the exact same players coming back the same year, same next year, it's a different year. I mean, just because I performed great last year doesn't mean I'm going to perform great the following year.
Exactly.
Why? Because who we play changes. The other teams change. So how I play is going to change. So, you know, just because we had one good year one year or a bad one doesn't mean it's going to be the same the following year. So, you know, I don't think it's irrelevant what Northwestern does. Now, as you pointed out, for most people, maybe that aren't into it as much or maybe are, you know, they just kind of see Northwestern as it's just a lower-end team. You know, no worries. That's it's a right-end. Well, you know, teams get better. Teams improve. And we've seen it with Northwestern this year. So are they currently ranked? I forget. I think they've dropped out of the ranking.
Yeah,
but
they are currently. If they win this week, they'll probably be back in.
Yeah, so, you know, they're close in the top 25. I think they were ranked 24th at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're a good team. I mean, that's just the way it is. I don't care what they did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, even last year. So they're a good team, and that Michigan State has to prepare for that, and hopefully that doesn't, you know, leak into the players at all, which I don't think it will, because Michigan State has a lot to work on. So, you know, it is what it is, but, yeah, they can't take them lightly, that's for sure. And the fans can't take them lightly either.
Yes, that's for sure. They got to be ready because, you know, Northwestern comes in to play. We were talking about, you know, with a previous guest, you know, how a lot of stands were empty up in the corners of the end zone. And we've seen a lot of that against certain games, and Northwestern is one of those games where people just don't come out. I mean, we know for a program to be successful, you got to come to the games, not only the good games, but the games that aren't so good. You got to support your team, win, lose, or draw. If hopefully you feel that way, you've got to support them, and you've got to come out during games like this who supposedly they don't have a name attraction on their team. You know, people will be at the Ohio State games, the Wisconsin games, those in Penn State. They'll be at the big name games, but you need to come out to those games where that team just doesn't have a marquee name. Now, they've won enough games this year. They're 7-3 right now with two games left. So we'll see that. But, boy, that would really behoove you as fans to come to a game like a Northwestern. You know, it's not going to be showcasing a lot of people, but it should be a very good game.
Yeah, you know, I think a perfect example is what you're talking about is the Detroit Tigers. For so many years, they were obviously just down at the bottom of their conference. They were, you know, they couldn't win if, you know, even if the other team forfeited, they'd figure out somehow a way to lose. You know, then they bring Leland in and things start changing and they start winning. Suddenly, people start showing up at the games. Well, where were they before? Well, okay, so you only show up when they win.
Yep.
All right. So I'm not saying all the people, because there's plenty of people that follow them. You know, gutted
out. There
are
plenty of front runners too.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing for Michigan State. Mm-hmm. You know, since we're just talking about football.
Yeah.
You saw it during the Iowa game, homecoming. Mm-hmm. I know the weather was crappy. The student section, or up in the upper bowl, or whatever. I forget if that's the actual student section.
Yeah, it's part of it.
Where were they? Yeah. Well, yeah, they were sitting, you know, either at their dorm room or, mm-hmm. you know, sitting in their apartment or wherever they were.
Yep.
They didn't care. They weren't there. They don't care about the football team. So if you're going to sit here and tell me that you actually care about the team, well, why don't you show up like you know, you say you care. Why don't you show up when all the games matter?
Yep.
It's not like none of these – it's not like, oh, that game didn't matter because we're playing Iowa. Of course it matters. They all matter. So why don't you show up to all the games and support the team during the entire season when it matters? You know, Michigan State basketball has got some games coming up that they're playing some lower-end teams. Hey, guess what? Those teams matter still. Those games still matter. You still got to support them. If you actually care about the team, if you actually want to talk about the team and say that you're a fan of the sport, show up to all the games, you know. Or, you know, I'm not saying you got to show up, support the team in some way. And, you know, the people not showing up to the games, like you're saying, the Iowa game, the Northwestern game, I can guarantee you there's going to be empty seats there this weekend.
Yep, there will be.
I mean, there will be. That's just the way it is. Why? Well, what's the record? Well, we're not going to win 11 games this season, so I'm not going to come
right
to the game because they're not that good this year. So you're only going to show up if they're good. Well, it just boggles my mind. You call yourself a fan? I mean, come on.
Yeah. You see, you should be out there strolling through the dorms and getting on the students for not coming out to the games. Of course, they'll have a million excuses on why they're not going to be there. But that's the thing. You know, we need to tell them, you know, they need to support their team. I mean, it's a good team, even though they haven't won as many games as they should. But you're right. They still need their support, and they still need your support if you're an MSU student. That's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR. 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. We made, you know, we've been talking somewhat to the students today, and hopefully we'll see a few more of them out to the game. I don't know how many will be there, but we hope the student section will be filled, and the Northwestern game should be sold out. It should be, because it's a good team. I mean, we sell out the Michigan game, of course, every year. We could also sell out, Wisconsin. We sell that game out pretty much every year. Iowa, even, and Ohio State, when they come to town, they sell out. So what's wrong with Northwestern? Why can't we come out there and support Michigan State when they play against a team like Northwestern? Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. And now with basketball season coming up, I'll be over at a lot of the basketball games. Hopefully, we'll see more students at some of those games. And that's for sure, because we'll need to get that. That's for sure. And let me see. Don is just, he said, thank you guys for your comments on attending the football games. You are preaching to the choir to me. In my sports world, this is when you double down in support of your squad. When times are a little tougher than expected, the program and the coaching staff has earned that. Go State. And that's from Don. So Don really echoes what we're saying here, Aaron. And yeah, he's a good fan who believes he does. He supports his team, win, lose, or draw. And it'd be nice if we had more fans like that.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what? I guess reality is this isn't the 1950s or 60s or 70s. It's not. It's a different culture. People do it because of different reasons, you know. I'm at an age where, a lot of my generation, they do it because, they like to go drinking with their buddies, have a good time. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's fine. It's their life. They can do what they want. There's no harm to me. But unfortunately, that's just the way the nature is of the sport. I don't like how that is. But, if you're gonna say you support your Spartans and you support your teams for whatever sport it may be, show up to the game like you want to or whatever, or whatever the case is. Just don't show up when they're just winning. I mean, that's just not good. But winning is everything. I mean, we've all heard it 100 times.
Yep, winning isn't everything. It's the only thing.
Right, it's the only thing. No one wants to sit there and be part of the. The Lions are a great example. I've watched the Lions ever since I sort of got into football the last 10 years, and frankly, the last couple of years are the only good years that they've had. I sat through all those seasons, 0-16, Joey Harrington. I mean, the list goes on, of all the bad players they had. I sat through it, and I'm still here today, and now they're a good team, and I'm still following them, and I'm proud of them. So people can do the same thing for the Spartans. It's not going to be perfect every year, but that's life. If your life is perfect and expect everything to be perfect in your life, well, you got another thing coming.
Well, I'm an old fogey. I've been around here a long time, and I must admit I get a little surprised when I hear fans that they don't support their team, don't come around for their team. And I know I've been around here, and I get to go to all the games and stuff, but it still that surprises me that more people don't go to the games, especially the games that are considered one of the big games to go see. We still want to see the big games all the time. Hey, we want to thank you all for listening today. Thank you for calling. And we want to invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday, 105 to 2 o'clock, right here on WKAR. So come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870. And we'll talk more sports with you right here on WKAR.
From NPR News.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.